This is the season of the open door. This is Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I heard a voice that said, come up here. And I looked. There was a door, a gate, a portal standing open in heaven. This is not a time to stagnate. This is a time to go higher. Julie, we love that. That's wonderful. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, man. Can you believe this? We've known Rick and Julie for 33 years. 30 what? 31? It seems longer than that. Yeah. But we've had a wonderful time with these guys. We've been into some situations and circumstances, but listen, what a day to be alive. This is one of the most crucial times in human history, and look who God's let live. I said to him, what are you thinking? Here's what he told me in Texas terms. Yep, I finally found me a people weak enough to work in. Now, not weak in morals, not weak in ethics, not weak in character, weak in their own ability. He said, I found me a generation that has embraced John 15:5. John 15:5 says, without him we can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who infuses me with inner strength. Aren't you glad? God would never give us power with purpose without power. And we need the power of God, don't we? Oh, man. Thank you so much. Oh, here's some books. This is the year of the open door. That's the shepherd's rod. And I'm telling you, this is the second time it's ever happened where one shepherd's rod and the other shepherd's rod became sequels. It happened to me and Bob Jones one time. But this is the year of the open door. We need to really make access and get into the presence of God. Let the presence of God get in us. So out on the book table, there's the shepherd's rod. And here's the one, until. Daniel 7, verse 20 and 21. It said the evil horn, that's talking about the devil, demons, Jezebel, anything dark and deadly. Daniel 7, verse 20 says the evil horn was waging war against the saints of God and prevailing until. Until the Ancient of Days stands and renders a verdict in behalf of the saints of God, and the time has arrived for the saints to take back the kingdom. So here's the deal. The Lord said, until, and then he said, this one shows us how to do this one. And so you need to get the shepherd's rod books and look at them. Can you believe this? For 29 years on the Day of Atonement, we've had these visitations from Jesus Christ. And we write in a book called The Shepherd's Rod. Bob had done them. Bob Jones had done them decades before we did. And Bob was wonderful, and he was instrumental in me doing The Shepherd's Rod. But here's how that happened. Bob was standing there in front of me. He said, hey, boy, God wants you to do The Shepherd's Rod. That's what he said. And I said to him, no, I'm not going to do that. But I didn't get to tell him why I was not going to do that. I didn't want to do that because that's what he was doing. And I didn't want to copy somebody or mimic somebody. But I didn't get to convey that to Bob. And he rubbed his hands like that. And he goes, well, he wants you to. And off he went, man, just like that. And he was a little bit upset. And then so the next thing that happened, Jesus appeared and said, yes, I want you to record and receive the shepherd's rod. And I said to him, no, Lord, because I don't get revelation like that. Oh, boy. When I said that, I was jerked up, carried up into some great big round sphere in the heavens. And there were big screens like these all over, and they were showing different sequels. And the moment my eyes would look at a screen, I'd know everything about it, the most minute detail. I'm thrown back down. The Lord almost laughed at me and said, see, it's no problem for me to give you revelation. So that was 29 years ago. This coming October will be 30 years. And I'm telling you, we need to do it. Amos 3:7 says, surely God will not do a single thing on planet Earth without first revealing what he's going to do to his servants, the prophets. So the prophets need to get in the presence of God, hear what he's saying, and then transfer that to the people. Don't you believe it? Yes, that's right. So my wife has sent me two books to talk about. Now, both of these are pretty unique. One of them's a shepherd's rod for 2002. This is a strange, and now listen, this is a strange thing, but God does strange things. I don't care, you could have a brain like Einstein and couldn't understand the simplest phrase from the Word of God. The natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit. It's foolishness to you, neither can you know it. It must be spiritually discerned. And so that's what you, here's what happened. This one right here, it was a shepherd's rod for 2002. Here's what happened. I was in my bed down there in Moravian Falls, and I was in my bed sound asleep, and I had the covers pulled up real close to my face because a cold snap had come through the mountains here. And all of a sudden, 2:22 a.m., I feel the covers pulling off my, and I thought, well, maybe it's Carolyn arranging the cover. And then I looked over there, she's not arranging nothing, she's asleep. And then I looked over here, and there stands Jesus Christ. Yes, there stood Jesus Christ right beside my bed, and he said, hey, Bobby, let's go fishing. 2:22 a.m. in the morning. I said to him, this is not a good time to go fishing. He said, no, this is the best time to go fishing. I was jerked up, translated all the way to somewhere, big ocean. There's an ocean. Have you seen when there's a hurricane? There's a newscaster out there, and he's having to do like that because the winds are beating him. That's the way it was there. I mean, lightning flashing, wind howling, and the rain was so hard, it was like pellets. I'm doing like this. I'm about to be blown down, and there stands Jesus at the same coastline I'm at, not a hair ruffled, robe not flopping, and he did like this. And then I stepped over there, and he said, I'm still the Prince of Peace. You know, the storm was not violating him. And here's what happened. So help me. He said, Bobby, I want you to catch me a fish. And I said, I don't have anything to fish with. So he said to me again, I want you to catch me a fish. I said to him, I don't have anything to fish with. And then this is it. He said, he took his hand like this and he pushed it into his chest and he said, you still don't understand, do you? And he pulled out a piece of his heart and he put a piece of his heart in my hand and he said, cast this upon the troubled waters. I'm telling you, I was screaming, no, no, because when he placed a piece of his heart in my hand, I knew what Peter meant when he said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. And he said, cast it upon the troubled sea. I mean, lightning flashing, terrible storm. And there's a piece of his heart. And he said, cast it. And I threw it as hard as I could, as high as I could. And I watched it as it went through the skies, lightning flashing and thunder rumbling. And a big fish jumps up out of the ocean and ingested the piece of his heart and swam right to us. I mean, it's right there. It's translucent. You can see inside the fish, and there's thousands of other small fish. And the Lord standing beside me said, Bobby, do you know how much that fish weighs? I said, yes, it weighs 55 pounds. And then he looked at me and said, that's 55 times 55. Then it got that big, and he said, pick it up. And inside of this fish was thousands of other small fish. And I picked it up and it was weightless. And I put it in the hands of the Lord. And he pushed it into his body just like this. No wonder he said, I have meat to eat of, you know nothing about. And I've never seen such a wonderful countenance in my life as Jesus pushed the souls into his bosom. And so he said, There it is. There's some out there, isn't it, about fishing in the storm. It is the best time to fish. We're in storms right now, aren't we? I mean, the thunder's rolling and there's all kind of problems. Now, here's the other one. This is called Unction to Function. That sounds like a rap song, don't it? But that's not what this is about. I wrote this, good gracious, I wrote it back in 1999. It's a little thin book. And here's what happened with this book. God had me to write about the release of the apostolic and the prophetic coming together as a team. And so that's what we was writing about. And so I'd finished the book. It shouldn't take long. It's just a few pages, 61 pages. And John Paul Jackson was living then and very fruitful in the ministry. And so I gave him this book, Unction to Function. And I just gave it to him. And he goes, oh, yeah. So we were in a meeting together. So he was in his room. We come back the next morning and get to breakfast. And here's what John Paul said. Bobby, he said, this is the best book I've ever read. It needs to be in every hand and heart of leaders in America. And I said, are you joking? He said, no, I'm not joking. And so I'm in the process now of bringing this thing up and out. We need an unction to function. We need the apostolic and the prophetic merging together as a team. Okay? And so I hope you'll get some of these and look them over and get the shepherd's rod books. Right, that way we won't have to carry them home again. That'll be good. Okay, thank you. I like the pen of a ready writer. All right, and I'll tell you, you're going to start being so just spewing out some books. There's stuff in you we need to hear. Well, I'm talking to Rick now, so for those of you that, and really, I'm telling you, you're in the right place for the right purpose, and I'm so thankful for that. And what a day to be alive. And so here's what I'm going to talk about today, not just the books. I want to talk about the most frequent asked question in the world. What is the most frequent asked question in the whole world? Here it is. You ready? Hey, what time is it? If that's the most frequent asked question in the world. Now, let me tell you something. If anybody should have the answer, it should be the church. We should know the timing of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's a time and a purpose for every action and activity of God under heaven. A time and a purpose. Now, who's supposed to know the timings of God? The saints that have that anointing of the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times to know what the people of God should be committing themselves to. So, okay, let's look at some of the times that we're in. You want to? Here's one. This is a Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Since these great promises are ours, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates us and defiles body and spirit and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of the Lord. Okay, what time is it? Time to clean up. Time to put away childish things. Get busy about following the Lord. You want to? Yes. Okay. What time is it? See, we're supposed to know the timing. Here's the timing. Romans, say Romans. Chapter 13, verse 11. Now, okay, I know what the problem is. Get out some glasses. I just wear these when I want to see. There we go. All right. Did I tell you they took, you know, I've had strange things happen in my life. They took the, look out now. They took this eye out of my head, and it's out like that, and I'm watching this eye with this eye. I had stuck a stob in my eye. And so they carry me there with the stob hanging out my eye to some optometrist or some doctor, and they tape my head down like this on a thing, and they stuck something like that in my eye and go like you're pulling out a prune or something. And there's this eye hanging out like this, and I'm watching this eye with this eye. I say, Barry, I bet there's nobody else in here that's been that way. And I'm listening to what they're saying. They're saying to my mama, well, if we pull out the stick, all the fluid will drain out and he won't have an eye there. Now, that don't sound like a good report, does you? And so my mama said, well, he can't go around with the stick hanging out of his eye. And so the doctor said, we'll try to cauterize, whatever that is. Now, that don't sound like something you want done to your eye. Cauterize. But anyway, thank God, they popped out the stick. Now, you say, how'd you get a stick in your eye? Well, back then, I'd chase rabbits, and I jumped on a rabbit, and they had burnt the feel off, and the burnt stob went in my eye. That's true. Then the doctor said I had a lazy eye, and they gave me a patch to put on my eye. When you got a lazy eye, you put the patch on the good eye to make the lazy eye work. Anyway, I'm telling you, anyway, I'm glad everything's working. That's true. So you know a couple of things about me. Cut my tongue off and stuck a swab in my eye. But I'm here. Here we go. Here's the time. Romans, say Romans. And we're in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Besides this, you know what a critical hour this is. How it is high time. Now we're answering, what time is it? It's high time now for you to wake up out of your sleep, rouse to reality, for salvation, final deliverance is nearer to us now than when we first believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied upon Christ the Messiah. What time is it? It is a perilous time. Besides this, you know what a critical hour this is. And so it is critical. We got to seek the Lord while he may be found. We got to call upon him while it is near. It is time. Yeah, that's what it says. It is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon us. I'm glad of that, aren't you? 2 Timothy 3:1 says, it's perilous times. Is that true? The Bible said there'll come a time when people will speak doctrines of devils from the pulpit. I'll tell you what, look out now. We better know the Bible and not listen to some of that stuff that's coming out of some places. We better study the Word of God. Now, all Scripture is given what? By the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for corrections, in righteousness, that the man and woman of God would be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So it's time for us to get deeper into the Word of God, don't you think? Study to show yourself approved unto God, what? A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Now, you say, well, Bobby, I don't have time to study. Get up earlier. And I'd recommend, that's the best way to study, I think, the Bible, is don't wait till night. You'll be so fragmented and so, you know, you need to be still. And early in the morning's a good time to do that. Get in there and say, Lord, speak to me. I want to hear your word. I want to hear your voice. Boy, God will speak to you. Said night and day the heavens are uttering his voice. The Bible said in John 10:3, my sheep will hear my voice. They will follow me. John 10:27 said they run away from other voices. We need to get to know the voice of the Lord. Don't you think? I told you earlier that I used to think if God had something really, really important for me, he'd get me by the shirt and go, hey, Bobby. It's right the opposite. He said, if I had to shout at you, it's a sign of your immaturity. He said, you should be so close to me, I can guide you with my eye. So what time is it? It's time to seek the Lord while he may be found. It's time to call upon him while he's near. And I'm telling you, I don't think there's been a time when it's Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Time to seek the Lord. I mean, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he's near. I spent several months speaking and teaching on seeking the Lord. Oh, boy. I'd found every verse I could find about seeking the Lord. And so I was teaching for several weeks on seeking the Lord. And guess what happened? The Lord appeared to me and shook his finger at me and said, hey, that's what he said. Hey, you tell my people, when it comes to seeking me, I detest multitasking. Now, when we come into the presence of God, we need to give him all. Give him first place. Don't be so fragmented. Get still and quiet. The Bible says, acquaint now thyself with God. Be at peace and good will come to you. How do you get acquainted with God? Psalms 46:10-11. Be still and know that I am God. Daniel 11:32b. Have you found that verse? Daniel 11:32b. It says, but the people that do know their God, they're going to display strength and take action. Now, the devil knows that verse. So what was his response be? To distract you, disturb you, to keep you from spending time learning about God. See, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace and good will come unto you. The devil does not want you to be at peace. He does not want you to be studying the will and the word and the ways of God. So he's going to try to disturb you and distract you. Have you ever got quiet? and you're going to study the wonderful Word of God. And you're trying to, and all of a sudden a thought goes, hey, the insurance is due. Or something like that. Guess who that is? That's the devil. He's trying to disturb you and distract you. So we got to learn how to, when it says in Matthew 6, verse 6, get in the quietest room of your house and shut the door. Oh, we are a culture that don't like silence. We don't like serenity. We want something. Have you, listen, we got all of these headphones. We got all of this. It'll distract you. What you need to do is just get in a quiet place and say, Lord Jesus, I want the Holy Spirit of God to be my teacher, because we can't understand the Word without Him deciphering it for us. And just study. Read a passage of Scripture. I'll tell you what, there's a bunch of them. You ought to memorize the Bible. You should put as many verses as you can in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's a lot of verses. Here's one, Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says, the words of this book, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate upon it day and night, and it will guarantee you overwhelming success. Now, if you want to be a flop and a failure, stay out of the Bible. But if you want overwhelming success, get into the Word. Joshua 1:8. I like that, don't you? I want us to get into the Word and the Word get into us. See, the Word is not print on paper. The Word is a person. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And see, we won't know Jesus on the dimension we need to know Him if we're shallow in His Word. That's the real truth, isn't it? Say, yes, it is. I like that. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 3:1. There's a time, a season, a purpose for every activity of God under heaven. Did you know the Bible teaches that all of our days are written in His book before we've ever lived a single one of them? That's mind-boggling. Can you grasp that somewhere back there in eternity past, Almighty God picked up His pen and wrote, you will be in the gathering church on a certain day, this day. It says all of our days are written in His book before we've ever lived a single one of them. Isn't that amazing? Say yes. That's in the Bible. All of our days are written in His book before we've ever lived a single one of them. Now, I like that. That gives purpose to us, don't you think? Now, I think we should somehow get in such a communion with God that His journal becomes our journey. Amen. All of our days are written in His book before we've ever lived a single one of them. I'll tell you about the devil. He's an accuser of the brethren. And one thing he'll start doing is accusing God to you, saying something like this. Well, now, you're so insignificant. God don't even think about you. He's lying out His tooth. Yeah, I'm telling you. The Bible said God's thoughts towards us, I'm screaming, God's thoughts towards us are weighty and precious. And you look that up, it means glorious. And it says in the Bible, God's glorious thoughts are more numerous than the sands on the seashore towards us. We need to start looking at what God has already said about us. He said, you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I wish above all things, beloved, that you would prosper and be in health. No weapon formed against you will work. We got to start living by what God said about us. He said we're unstoppable. It says, behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, I was talking about this in the school yesterday. The other morning I woke up, Rick, and I was opening my Bible, and the Lord screamed at me, behold! I said, behold! Behold! I said, behold! And He said, I want you to behold, behold. And that's what it is. Behold is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Bible. Behold what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us. Behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions. So we got to learn to behold, behold. It's used over 1,000 times in the Bible. And we need to find out what in the world does behold mean. It's one of the strongest words for comprehending, understanding. You understand that? We got to start beholding. It means giving our total attention to. That's what we got to do as we behold him with an unveiled face. We're changed from one dimension of glory to the next, the Bible said. So behold. So I'm going to look up every one of those 1,000 verses and find out about beholding and teach the body of Christ to behold. We get so distracted. We need to behold. We need a firm focus. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. Oh, that's a battle, isn't it? That's where the battlefield is in the mind. I try to tell people the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. The Bible said, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart comes the issues of life. Well, you know, I'm not very concerned about that. Well, that's why you backslid. That's right. I'll tell you what now. If you go to the doctor with a broke arm, he says your ear is all right, you better find another doctor. Yeah. Don't you think? Church cannot survive another year of misdiagnosis. Yeah. We're in perilous times. We've already learned this. We found out that we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. There's something better than that. What could be better than being in the kingdom for such a time as this? The kingdom being in us for such a time as this. God told me, he said, I'm raising me a kingdom company that'll rule the visible realm from the invisible realm, but they'll do it through a demeanor of love. We better rethink how much power God has given us in our words. The power of life and death is where? Yep, we got to quit cursing ourselves. Let me show you how shrewd the devil is about this. Maybe you go to the doctor and he's checking you over. And here's one of the questions they often ask. Are you ready? Does this disease run in your family? Don't go, yeah, Uncle Harold had it. I guess I'll get it. No, you're in a different family. You're not in the same. It says he brought us out of the family of death and darkness and put us into the family of life, love, and liberation. Colossians 1:13. So you're in a different family. We got to watch out. We curse ourselves. I'm the dumbest thing, Abraham. No. I told you, get in front of a mirror and go, wow, I'm really something. There ain't nobody like me. 7.6 or something billion people on the earth and not a single one like you. You are divinely unique. Instead of going, oh, well, you know, I'm just little me. No. You're one of a kind. I like that, don't you? One of a kind. I studied Ephesians 2:10 out of every English translation I could find. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Talking about time, season, purposes, and activities of God. Look at that. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we would walk in them. That literally is saying God created things for us to do before he created us. So we need to understand we've got purpose. And that's why we need power, because God's given us purpose. That's what Acts 1:8, you shall what? Receive power when? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea. All over the whole earth. We got to let our light shine, hadn't we? Listen, I want us to be a little more aggressive with Christianity. You know, we ought to be so full of the things of God that people go, ooh, what is this? Now, I told you all about that, didn't I? I was on the elevator. This was, seems like 100 years ago. I was on the elevator in some city, and I had my little Walmart briefcases with me like this, and the door is just closing. I'm going up to my room, and the elevator door is just closing, and guess who jumps in? MC Hammer! That's when he was famous, the rapper. You can't touch this, remember him? Yeah. MC Hammer jumps in the elevator with me. I'm just keeping my focus right there on the door. I got my little Walmart bags and Hammer's standing right there. Here's what Hammer does. You ready? I'm not praying in tongues. I'm not shut. Hammer goes, what's this? Why, it's the Holy Ghost in it. I said, yes, it is. He said, that stuff's real in it. I said, it's the realest stuff in the whole world. Guess what Hammer said? He said, will you come down to my bus in the basement and tell my crew? Woo! I go down to the basement of that hotel. I get on MC Hammer's bus. You've never smelt so much cologne in your life. Everybody had a gold something. I mean, listen. And we got to stand there and preach the gospel to Hammer's bus. Hammer started preaching. Remember that? Yes, he did. But see, that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be walking in the presence of God in such a dimension, people go, what is this? Here's a word that is coming to the body of Christ. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I'm telling you, the Lord's going to bring the church out, and we're going to have a beauty treatment. Who is this? Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? You should read this book of Psalms. It tells us where the Lord puts his hand on his bride. He puts his hand where? On her neck. That talks about direction. And he puts it on her waist. That talks about protection. Direction and protection. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness? All right. You're special to God. I'm telling you. Can you imagine the price he paid for us? We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we're asking what time it is. 2 Timothy 3:1, it's perilous times. It's crucial times. But look who's alive. So what we got to do is let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. I'm telling you, we've got to saturate the world with the Word of God and the wisdom of God and the ways of God. And so how are we going to do it? We're going to have to be a little more bold, don't you think? Have you noticed the world? They're pretty bold. Now, I may have told you this story, but this is the kind of person I am. I ride a plane. I get on a plane nearly every week to go somewhere. And we got on a plane up there, and the businessmen were on the plane, and they're putting their luggage in the overhead bin, and they close the bin, and they curse. GD, I mean, taking God's name in vain over and over and over. And I said to myself, I've had all of this I'm going to put up with. So the plane gets 33,000 feet in the air. Ding, that's when you can unbuckle. So I unbuckled my belt. I stood up like this, and I attempted to be fluttering around with my baggage up there. No human being could slam that luggage carrier thing any tighter than I did. Wham! And I turned around and I said, damn Buddha! That's what I said. Yeah. Then I told the whole plane of people, I demand equal time. They stood here cursing God and Jesus, so I just decided I'd curse Buddha. Now, I'll tell you what, that'll get people's attention. And I said to him, I demand equal time. And so, yeah, boy, that'll scare people. We've had some tremendous experiences on the plane. Yeah, here's my deal. I buy the cheapest ticket and then beg God to bump me up. And then most of the time he'll bump us up, and it's pretty amazing. I've had some real encounters. We saw a guy raised from the dead. We got to preach there in Paris when they turned the plane back around. And so here's what I want you to do. Be instant in season and out of season. You say, well, I don't feel like it. Well, you're supposed to feel like it. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, here's what he said. If I tell you to warn the wicked man of his wicked way and you don't warn the wicked man of his wicked way, his blood will I require at your hands. See, it's not optional. We're called for a purpose. We're to stand up. We're to be bold and brave and very courageous. The Bible said, the wicked's running. Nobody's even chasing. It's a shame. Our timidity is testimony to our carnality. Because the righteous will be what? Bold as a lion. And the church is going, meow. We need a makeover. What time is it? All right. All the people are asking, please tell us the time. It's time to seek the Lord with all of our heart. It's time to pour out our desires before the Lord. What we've got to do is understand we can't get into his presence if we're contaminated. So we need to pray a prayer. Search me, O God. Try me. Cease to be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way eternal and everlasting. You know, I prayed a prayer once. If I'd have known where we were going, I probably wouldn't have prayed it. Here's what happened. I'm pastoring a church at that time, and everything was smooth as silk. I was in a big old overstuffed leather chair, an office chair, and my walnut desk was polished to perfection, and everything was going real good. So I'm sitting there, and I didn't bow my head. I just kind of cocked it down a little bit, and I said with a mumble, "Oh, Lord, if there's anything wrong in my life, show it to me. If." A lot of emphasis on if. And here's what happened. Oh, boy. Here's what happened. You ready? The moment I said, "If there's anything wrong in my life, would you show it to me?" It was like the Lord put his finger on the rewind button on the video. All the way back to the first meeting I did out on the road. And it was in Atlanta. And here's what happened. The paper the next morning, in headlines this big, with pictures of me on the front page, this big of headlines, and here's what it said. "Come see this man. He's like Billy Graham and Billy Sunday merged into one." Okay. So when I read that Monday morning, I thought I blushed. I said to myself, how foolish. But guess what the real Bobby Connor said? Here's what the real Bobby Connor said. "Well, it's about time they see something." God said, "That's pride and arrogance, and it is a stench in my nostrils." So I thought, I better get out of this chair. I got out of the chair. I got on my face. Then he showed me everything that he had on his books that was negative on my behalf. Whew! A list. I thought it was inconsequential. One time, here's one of them. I'd bought something at a fast food place, and I gave them money, and they gave me back more than I was supposed to have. And instead of being honest and giving them back, I go, "Well, that's their mistake." God said, "That's thievery, and I don't like it." So I had to go back to the place and say, "Hey, I mean, years later." Okay. Oh, boy. So pretty soon, I'm not under the chair. I'm under the desk. And I'm squalling and bawling. You know the difference between squalling and weeping? Mucus. That's the difference. Mucus. I'm laying under there about stuck to the carpet. Snot going everywhere. And I got up and I thought, "Thank God your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So you better let him do the evaluation. Wow. I'm telling you, beware where you think you stand unless you toddle, you know. So pray that prayer. "Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way that's eternal and everlasting." I like that. Don't you? Say yes. That's at Psalms 139. That's the one that says all of our days are written in his book before we ever lived a single one of them. That's the same passage that's in. So now, can you believe that somewhere back there in eternity, God said that you'd be sitting here today? It's really true. That's he's got purpose for us. And he knows everything he wants to accomplish in our lives. One of the greatest things we could do is surrender. The best thing you can ever say to God is yes. He told me, I get asked all over the place. I've been preaching 55 years. I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 55 years. I'm living proof. Practice won't make perfect. You know what I mean? But I'm having the time of my life. But here's what we got to do. People go, "Is there any advice you could give me on how to live a successful Christian life?" Here it is. swift and complete obedience. Do as quickly as you can, as thoroughly as you can, anything he asks you to do. You say, well, no, it sounds easy, but sometimes it's not all that easy. Okay? For example, this will shock you. I was there in Texas, and the Lord said, go to London. And I said, why? He said, because I told you to. So I go to London, and this is all true. I go to London, bought my own ticket, and I'm mad, had other things to do, but I was told to go to London. So I went to London, got off the airplane, still mad. What do you want me to do now? He said, check into that hotel. So I checked into that hotel. I got the room key. I get up there. All of this is true. I get up there and I open the door to the room. I get into the room and there's a nice bed there and a leather chair, a brown leather chair up against a wall made out of wood. And the Lord said, sit in that chair. I said to him, how long am I going to have to sit there? He said, till I tell you to get up. Now, this is the long suffering of God. He should have just kind of, but no, I'm mad. I sat down in the brown stuffed chair. I had my arms on the thing like this. I'm not praying in tongues. Shalom. No, I'm glaring at the, I'm glaring across the room. And I'm sitting there. I sat there for quite a while. And all of a sudden, shoom, I hear that sound. The wooden wall behind me opened up. And so help me God. Out of the wooden wall walked the saints of old, the cloud of witnesses. They got in front of the chair, and when they would stand in front of the chair, I'd know everything their life accomplished from the moment they were born again till they died. One after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And boy, the last one that came through was Jesus Christ. He said, you're here because they're there. The greatest team we've got praying for us is a cloud of witnesses. And boy, I'm telling you. But I learned something about the patience of God. See, he's patient with us when we're stubborn. Aren't you? I'm glad. Boy, look in the Bible. And we've got to understand that Lamentation 3 says, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Aren't you? He said, I am the Lord. I change not. I like that. I'm glad he's not up there going, oh, Bob, if you could have got here last week, but, you know, I'm tapped out. No, he's El Shaddai. He told me one time, he said, Bobby, I want you to announce to the leaders that make your decisions as if money was no problem. That's what the Lord told me. Tell the leaders, make your decision as if money was no problem. So I said in my little squeaky voice, that sounds, you know, that sounds like it's a kind of, you know, and he said, you better tell them what I told you. So I tell people. And then God said, the reason you can tell them to make their plans without worrying about money, remind them of my name, he said. El Shaddai, the God that's more than you'll have need of. Aren't you glad? Now, did you know that he knows every hair on our head, knows every thought in our mind, every bad thing we've ever done, and still loves us? Your friends won't. Your friends find some dirt, they'll distance themselves. But Jesus is a friend that does what? Sticks closer than a brother. And I'm telling you, he wants to make himself so real. That, I mean, just so real that you know more about who he is, so you'll know more about who you are. You'll never know who you are till you know whose you are. And you're a child of the Most High God. The Bible says we're joint heirs with Jesus. What in the world does that mean? Anybody in here a lawyer that would admit it? Ask what being a joint heir means. It means that whatever you have, I have equal share. And we're joint heirs with who? Jesus. So anything Jesus has, we have equal share. Now, the Lord has made some statements about us. Here's what he said. As my Father sent me, even so now I'm sending you. And then he says, these works that I do, And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. I mean, that set the bar high, didn't it?
Yes, sir.
So he would not have said that if he was not meaning for us to do it. So what did he do? He raised the dead, healed the sick, opened blind eyes. You and I can raise the dead, heal the sick, and open blind eyes. Whatever you find in the Bible, you can have. What? Whatever you find in the Bible, you can have. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our descendants from now on. If it's revealed in the Bible, okay, for example, Paul was caught up into the third heaven. That's revealed. Okay, if Paul was called up, Bobby can be called up. God is no respecter of persons, the Bible said. That's how I got most of my experiences. Finding them in the Bible, and I would get a hammerlock on God. No. Here's what I'd say. You said you're no respecter of persons. And so I was pushing pretty hard on that little phrase. And here's what he said. You ready? Are you willing to do what they did to get what they got? Mm-hmm. Look at Moses. Went up into a flaming, bubbling mountain. Oh, boy. Are you willing to do what they did to get what they got? Oh, boy. We need to pursue him, don't you think? We need a fresh anointing. It says in Psalms 92:10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That fresh oil is going to release my strength like that of a wild ox. They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Mount up with wings as of eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. We need to learn how to spend time waiting upon the Lord. Right over here at one of the lodges, we were having a meeting. The Morningstar folks was having a meeting. Bob Jones was sitting right there. And here's what happened. I didn't know this could happen. Bob Jones was sitting right there, and he said to me, hey, I want you to pray for me. So I walk over there, and I put my hand on his shoulder like this. And just as soon as I put my hand on his shoulder like this, shoom, we're not in that cabin anymore, in that lodge. Me and him are up in the air like big eagles. I mean, like this. And we're way up there, and we're circling around like this. And I say to Bob, while we're up there in the eagles in there, I said, let's go higher. And he said, here's what he said. He said, no, this is high. And then I said this. Now, I would never say this in the real, but I said it in the trance. Shut up. Two can go higher than one. So we touched our wings together like this, and we go soaring away, way. You can feel the heat of the sun on us. And then all of a sudden, a wind blew us like this. And you look down the mountain, and you could see the mountain of cursing. Oh, man, all kind of dilemmas, all kind of things. And Bob said, see, I told you we shouldn't go this high. And I said it again. Shut up. We don't have to just see the bad. Now, I wouldn't say shut up to Bob Jones for nothing, but I did in the trance. Shut up. We don't have to just see the bad. And it blew us like this. And then you could see down the mountain of blessings, down the mountain of provision. So pretty soon I'm back at the lodge holding my hand on Bob's shoulder. I never knew till then that you could have mutual trances where both were hooked into the same time. Because here's what happened. That may be on video in Morningstar. Bob Jones was up preaching. After that event, Bob was up preaching. He goes, Bobby told me, shut up. See? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, see, somehow we were hooked them together. Yeah. Bobby told me, shut up. Yeah. Boy, we had some times with Bob. I saw Bob Jones the first time I ever saw him. I saw him in a vision. This is way back in the early 90s. I'm walking through a wooded place there's a little dirt road there, and I'm walking there, and in front of me, about 30 or 40 yards, is an eagle, and it's hopping. You can tell it's wounded and hurt, and it's hopping like that. And I'm watching it, and it fell over and got up and kind of fixed its feathers and turned its face like that. And the eagle had a human face on it. I said, Lord, who is that? He said, "That's my servant, Bob Jones." I had never heard of Bob Jones at that time. And so here, this is, that's how it was. So I thought, oh boy, that's really something. A few days later, same trance, same wooded area, same dirt road. But the eagle's there, he's got a little bigger and not quite as frail. And it's hopping like this and tries to fly and gets a little off the ground and then rolls again. Rolling dust went everywhere. And I screamed at God. Oh, God, if you're not going to fix this, don't you ever show this to me again. Because it broke my heart. And then he said, "That's why I'm showing it to you." And then he said, "I want you to call Bob Jones." I didn't have Bob Jones's number. A big old rock. This is 1994. A big old rock had come through the sky just like that. God said, "That's a sign my kingdom's coming to earth. Call Bob Jones and he'll tell you." Only time I'd ever seen Bob was in those two trances and once on the video. So Ricky Skaggs gave me Bob's number. And I called Bob. It rang and rang and rang. And I was just fixing to hang it up. And he goes, "Hello." I go, "This is Bobby Connor." He said, "I know who you are. You saw it, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah, I did. You tell me what I saw." He said, you saw the big rock. I said, "Yes, I did." He said, "You know what it means." I said, "Yes, I do, but you'll have to tell me." He said, "It meant the dominion of God was coming." God told me it was the kingdom of God. Told Bob it was the dominion. That's 1994. We got joined together, went all over the place together. I saw, listen, you want a story? Here's your story. Bob was going to go have his knee operated on over in Chicago at the Veterans Hospital. And I thought, okay. And God told my wife, Carolyn, don't let Bob go by himself. So I said, okay. I told Bob, "I'm going with you to the hospital." He said, "Total waste of your time, boy." That's what he said. "Total waste of your time, boy." I said, "Nope, I'm going." And two or three times, I told him I'm going. Two or three times, he said, "Total waste of your time." But anyway, I get there. He's going to have surgery. Supposed to be there. He's supposed to get him at 7. But I get there at 5. Oh, sleet, snow in Chicago. And I get there and the bed's empty. So I said, "Hey, where's Bob?" And God says, "Go back to the elevator. Push the basement button. Go all the way down the basement. When the door's open, take a left." Then I go all the way down the hall. He says, "Now go down this hall." I go all the way down that hall. He said, "There'll be a metal box on the wall. Push it." Boom! Pushed it. I step right into the operating room. There the doctors are. They got their mask on, got rubber gloves on, look like they've been gutting a deer. And there's Bob's body laying on the operating table right there. There's Bob hanging from the ceiling like a hot air balloon. Yeah, there's a black cloud spinning like this and keeping Bob from getting back in his body. I'm standing there like, golly. And guess what happened? I said, "God, what is this?" He said, "The black cloud is death. It separated Bob from his body. Rebuke it." So I rebuked it. Two doctors sitting there like it's a Disneyland trip. I rebuked the thing and the black cloud goes, shoom, out the door. Bob falls from the ceiling back into his body. Oh boy, guess what? When he came to, here's what he said. He said, "Whoo, I'm glad you didn't listen to me, boy." Yeah, oh boy. But anyway, aren't you glad all of us have calls and commissions from God?
Yes.
So it's a wonderful thing. And I appreciate all that Rick and the guys have done here in this region. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I'll just tell you, just an upfront word, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm telling you, he's going to remove every lid of limitation. We've already talked about pushing that wall out. But listen, it's about to be noised abroad that he's in the house. There's not room enough to receive him. No, not so much about the door. And that in the Bible, they had to take the roof off. But, you know, God can just, you know, he'll deal with all that. But there's a fresh wind coming. And we've got to learn how to receive this transition. That's what we got to do. Don't fight against it. Lift your spiritual wings and catch the wind. You can't figure it out till you ride a while. Okay? But listen, this is a time. This is a time to behold him in his glory. This is the time to see the dead raised. I'm telling you, Jesus said, for such a time as this. And we need the Lord. Here's what he said to me. He said, Bobby, don't let one of the greatest tools of evangelism grow cold. I said, God, what tool is that? He said, signs, wonders, and miracles. He said, signs, wonders, and miracles. Remember in the Bible, multitudes believed on him when they saw the miracles he did. I was standing on the aisle of a plane just outside of Moscow. Billy Graham was standing there with me, and I said to Dr. Graham, the Lord has convinced me that in the last days, he's going to send a mighty move of the Spirit of God with signs, wonders, and miracles, and it's going to reap the end time harvest. He put his hand right there on my shoulder, Dr. Graham did, and here's what he said to me. Son, I believe every word of that. Then he said something. Let me tell you about, he said, I was reared on a farm, and one thing I know about harvest time, it's short. So we're talking about, hey, what time is it? It's a short time. A short time. We've got to work while it's day, because the night is coming when no one can work again. Let's quit all the excusing ourselves, and let's get busy about the Master's business. Let's see the sick healed and the lost saved. Okay? You have the power of God inside of you. These works that I do, and greater works than these shall you do. That's from the lips of the Lord. He's not some politician seeking to be elected. He says what he means and means what he says. Aren't you glad? All right. You believe God knows every thought in your mind? That's right. Some of you should be ashamed, but not. You know. But, so here's what we want to do. What time is it? It's high time to wake out of our sleep, cast off the works of darkness. For final deliverance is nearer to us now than when we first believed, adhered to, trusted in Christ the Messiah. And it says there in Romans, it is time to wake up. Then it says, rouse to reality. If anybody on earth needs a reality check, it's the church. Yes. We got to rouse to reality. Don't you think? We got to get a new hunger for the Word of God. I mean, in these turbulent times, there's an anchor. My hope is built in nothing less but Jesus' blood. I'm telling you, aren't you glad for the foundation? No firmer foundation can any man lay than that which is laid in Christ. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God, it stands. So we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. God saw such a time as this. So let's be bold and brave, very courageous. Let's do what we're called and commissioned to do. You want to? Yes. You say, oh, Bobby, I should have, could have, but now I'm too old. No, you're not. It says one generation will spend the rest of their days lauding and applauding the mighty deeds of God, convincing the coming generation God's everything he says he is. So it's certainly not time to retire. It's time to refire. What do you think? It's really good. Listen. Okay. I know some old people that are full of fire. I like that, don't you? I mean, they've mellowed well. Oh, boy. I was with one of them one time. She's older than dirt. She's a little old bitty thing like this. She's humped over like this. And we're down in Belize, and the Rastafarians then hated white people because of the Brits and how they treated them. So I'm down there with a little missionary. She's a little thing. And she's squiveled up like this. And we're doing a crusade. And she's driving us back to Belize City. And they got some road problems. And we have to detour. And we're in a back alley kind of place. And the car's acting up a little. And so it sputters to a stop. Here comes the Rastafarians. I mean, you can understand everything they're saying. Listen, they're cussing like you can't imagine. They're trying to turn the car over. And I mean, they're beating on the windshield. I'm looking for a flashlight. I'm looking for a tar tool under the seat or anything. I'm fixing to get out there and knock the jerry curl out of them. You know what I mean? And here's what happened. The little missionary, she looked at me and she said, I suspect prayer will work better. I thought to myself, shucks, why didn't I think of that? I'm about to take the matter in my own hands. Little old missionary, they're beating on the windows, they're cursing, and she starts praying in tongues. You've never seen such terror hit these guys. Off they went. And I thought to myself, the wrath of man does not work the will of God, you know. But the little lady, just see, it was just natural with her. And she just prayed in tongues a moment, scared everything they had in them out. But see, you can get off in circumstances that are way beyond your pay grade. Yeah. But what we got to do is realize he's aware of all of our problems. And we can cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. Isn't that cool? I've been in places that's the only way you get out is casting your care upon him. Been in war zones, I mean, been shot at, all that kind of stuff. There's a difference between being shot and shot at. If they shoot at you, it goes, pshoom. If they shoot just down the dirt, it's pshoom. So, pshoom, you don't have to worry about that. When it's pshoom, that's the ones you better duck, okay? Oh, boy. Okay, here it is. I'm about through. I'd been preaching, about 6 months on binding and loosing. Yeah, I had it down to a T. And the Lord said, hey, Bobby, yes, you're going to live or die on what you've been preaching. What? You are going to live or die on what you've been preaching. And I've been preaching on the power to bind and the power to loose. All right. When he said, you're going to live or die, the phone rang. I picked it up. It's one of our dear ladies in church. And she's weeping, crying, shouting, oh, Pastor, please, please, something horrible has happened to one of her sons out at the lake. And so she said, would you please go? And I said, yes, I will. I hung up. And at that time, my pastoral vehicle was a big old Ford Bronco with a lift kit on it, headers out the side, and big old mud tires. So I'm driving down the road going out to the lake where this is taking place, and I'm doing about 90. And I said, Lord, what's this about? And my whole windscreen turned into a projector like this. And here I'm looking at it. I see me turning into there. There's a wrecked Lincoln. It's wrecked all to pieces. There's a Ford pickup. It's shot all to pieces and an AK-47 stuck to the window. Then I see me getting down, going to this house, and this guy coming around the bend, taking a pistol and shooting me in the head. Look out now. And then the police shoot him in the head. So I slowed down. That's what I did. I slowed down. And here's what happened. All right, there we go. Remember, you're going to live or die on what you've been preaching. So I turn into the Lake Edition. There's a wrecked Lincoln. There's a red pickup, the AK-47 in it. So I pull him down to the house. And I get out. And I'm standing there. And here comes the guy. And he's coming around the side. And he's got the gun cocked in the back of his belt. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, rebuke him shooting you. I said, I rebuke him shooting me. And he couldn't get the gun out of his belt. So he just ran by me and ran to a house and kicked a door in and went in that house. Now, there'd been all kind of shots fired out there. So here comes the police. Okay. I'm the only duck standing out in the yard. And here they go. They holler, get on the ground. Get on the ground. I go, no, I'm the preacher. That's what I said. And guess what they said? One of the cops said, yeah, he is. I see him all the time on TV. All right, so they said, come here. So I get over there at the cops. They go, what's going on here? I said, I just got here. He came out, couldn't get the gun out. He ran in that house, kicked a hole, and ran in there. And so they brought two SWAT teams, two helicopters, two command centers, and I got to run the whole thing just by binding and loosing. Wildest thing you've ever heard. I mean, all night long, they'd give an order, and God would say, what do you think about that order? And I go, I rebuke that. And they pick up the thing, cancel that order. Finally, the Lord said, you think you've learned what I've been trying to teach you? I said, I sure hope so. He said, I want you to stand here and declare what you want to happen. I said, I declare he comes up out of this bayou, this marsh, with his hands on his head and come to this floodlight and not a single shot fired. No sooner did it come out of my mouth till here he comes out of the swamp under the light, but they still wanted to shoot him. They wanted to tap him in the head and twice in the chest, but I said, nope. I said, without a shot fired. So they never fired a shot. They were helicopters. They was news people. Is this true? SWAT teams, 100 and something. See? But the power to bind and loose, you have. And we've got to learn how to exercise that. Okay? And so it was pretty drastic. Carolyn, you didn't go with me, did you? I'm sure glad. But is this all right? It's right. And boy, the news media came. I said, nope. We're not going to give any report. God just worked it all out. Aren't you glad? Yeah. See, God will use you in a way you never dreamed to be used. Yeah. I'm telling you, God wants you to raise the dead. Yeah. We had a doctor in our church. Nobody ever hardly died on his shift. And so they said, people are dying like flies on other people's shift. Why aren't they dying on yours? He said, because we believe in raising the dead. I was at Mazzio Pizza Shop once, you know, going to have a small slice. No, I was going to have a pizza. Yeah, this is in Tyler, Texas. And my phone rang. It was a secretary. She said, I know you. I said, what do you want me to do? She said, Dr. Thomas has called, needs you to come out to the hospital. They've got an emergency. So I go out to the hospital. I go into the room there. There's this young man, shiny black hair, and he's laying on the gurney dead. His head's laid off like that. My doctor friend said, Bobby, we did everything we could to revive him, and there's no life. And so I thought, okay. So we go over there, and I said, Lord, I pray the perfect will of God be done with this young man. He raised up and started coughing, sat up on the gurney just straight as a string, and then he joined our church. He tried to kill himself. He took overdose of dope and joined a church. See, God still raises the dead. Yeah, he still casts out devils. You have power to bind and loose. But you say, well, I don't want to get involved. You're involved. We're saints, sons, and soldiers. Saints, sons, and soldiers. So anyway, I've had fun. Don't go to church and not have fun. Some people have just enough Jesus to be miserable. They got him in the head, but not the heart. They got rules, regulations, stipulations. Listen, God, that's not what God wants. He wants us to obey him because we love him. Yeah. So he wants the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We need to share the love of God with people, don't you think? And he'll give you boldness. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Sometimes you really need it. You really need it. And sometimes God will put you right there. And if we don't tell them, who will? And so just the best way you know how. Here's one. When you get to where you're going, where are you going to be? See, that just cuts it down to one of two destinations, heaven or hell. And you get to make the choice. It's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. We got to tell them the truth about eternity. The young people sometimes have been so seduced by video games, they don't understand the finality of death. One more, and I'm through. The University of Texas down there called me to preach. They wanted me to come to the big auditorium there in the University of Texas and preach. And it's a great honor, honestly. So they usually won't mix the two, Holy Ghost and academics. But here's what happened. They made it mandatory that the student body had to come to the service. Whoa, boy. University of Texas packed out to the hilt. I mean, all you could see was a bunch of mad kids, mad as a wasp. They've been sent to a meeting. All right. And the University of Texas assigned me a topic to talk to them about. Here it is. Death and dying. What? Why am I here talking to these kids in the flower of their life on death and dying? They said, because they don't understand the finality of death. All right. So there they are, several thousand of them, just mad as a wasp. So I thought, here's what I'm going to do. I walked out there with a Bible. I opened the Bible and I said, I'll read a portion of the Word of God. And I said, out of the book of James, what is your life? It's even a vapor which appears for a moment and then vanishes away. That's what I read. What is your life? It's a vapor. It appears for a moment and then vanishes away. I took my Bible and go, wham! I said, if that's all life is, it's the biggest joke perpetrated on humanity. I had the kids then. They're sitting up on the edge of their chair. Yeah. I'll tell you what, here's what I told those kids. Here's what life is. It's a time to choose your destination. It's a dressing room for eternity. And we got to preach the gospel to those kids. And I'm telling you, the gospel works. When they hear the gospel and they see the difference, there's two destinations, eternity in the flames of fire or in the very presence of God. The Bible said, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses, choose life. So we've got to give these kids an opportunity, hadn't we? So got to preach. Oh boy. I want us to be instant in season and out of season. I preached on planes. Yeah, boy. And we got to be, you say, well, Poppy, how do you do it? I don't know. The Lord will just say, do this, and I'll do that. And he's always knows what needs to be done. Yeah. Now, here's the problem. We try to figure it out intellectually. Well, God must have said, no. God says what he means. It's no, don't alter it. You can get in deep stuff quick. If you falter on the plan, here it is, swift and complete obedience. Do as quickly as you can, as thoroughly as you can. Well, I've had fun. I've enjoyed being here. Thank the Lord for the gathering that invites us to come. I enjoy the schools. I enjoy fellowship. And we'll be out there. I'll give you a verse. Sign your book and I'll give you a verse. Here's your verse. You ready? You ready? Here it is. Hey, if your axe is dull, you have to swing harder. That's in the Bible. You have to put out more effort. Yeah, if the axe is dull. Yeah, there's verses in the Bible that are pretty weird. Yeah, honestly. But I'll tell you what. He means every one of them. And what you need to do when you run across one of those stumpers, here's one. The bed's too short, the cover's too narrow to get any rest like this. That's in the Bible. And I'm telling you, said there's a way that seems right unto man, the ends of that way is the ways of death. We got to find out what pathway we're on. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the pathway of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand is what? Study the right hand of God. It's the most powerful place in the whole universe. That's what it says, Psalm 16:11. You will show me the pathway of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Where are we seated? In heavenly places where? At the right hand of the Father. We got the best seat in house. Aren't you glad? Well, I want to pray for you, okay? Here's what the Bible said. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man gets the job done. So all I'm going to do is pray that God will make us so hungry, so desperate for him, we'll seek him while he may be found. Hey, what time is it? It's time to seek the Lord till he comes and pours righteousness out upon us. Don't you want to seek him while he may be found? He's a lot closer than you think. How close is he? As close as your next breath. Yeah. All right. Father, I want to thank you for an opportunity to share your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the hunger. Lord, you said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be filled. And Lord, I want to thank you for creating a hunger. You said, as a little desert deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. You said we thirst for you like in a dry and weary land where no water is. God, I want to thank you for initiating a hunger within the hearts of the people. Lord, we don't want to be satisfied till we really have the genuine move of God active in our heart. We want to see the things that you do that brings you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, here's a verse that messed me up. I was reading in the Bible, and it says, why it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What wrecked me was the creature can do something that'll bring the Creator good pleasure. Nothing could be more important than that. I like to tore the pages out of my Bible. What can the creature do that'll bring Creator good pleasure? I found it in the Gospel of Luke. Oh, shuddering, shivering little flock, do not be so timid. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Nothing thrills Father God more than finding a people he can give the kingdom to. The Bible said, in the day of God's power, his troops will volunteer freely. The Bible said, the eyes of the Lord are what? Roving to and fro. What are you looking for? A people whose heart is upright towards him. When he finds them, he'll fully support all they're sent to do. Yeah, I like that, don't you? Yes. Oh, shuddering, shivering little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure. There it is. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12:32. So, it's available for you if you want it. He wants to give you the kingdom. And I'm telling you, we better stand up. If we don't stand up for truth, we'll fall for anything. John 17:17 says, set them apart, sanctify them to the truth. That word is truth. The word sanctify means clean up, set apart for the service of God. Well, I certainly appreciate Julia singing. Wasn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. And I'm telling you, thank the Lord for a place to come aside, a place where the Spirit of God is free to move. Oh man, I've been in them situations where there's a, you know, they go, oh, no, let's don't, yeah. No, I want to jump in, don't you? Yes. I want to get right in the middle of whatever God has for us. Yes. And okay, all right. An event is in my head right now. I hope you never have to go through something like this. I'm in Washington, D.C. Barack Obama was the president at that time, and where he parked the helicopter was right over there, and there's a big church there, and I'm invited to preach there. And so I said, okay. Then I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't have the message that you want. He said, don't worry, Bobby. I'll give it to you. Now, when that happens, worry. I go there, 25 perfectly dressed pastors right here on the front, 25 of them. I mean, dressed immaculate. And then a church house full of people. I mean, prestigious people, lawyers, military people, political people, da, 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 da. And so I said, God, I'm telling you, I don't have the message. He said, Bobby, I'll give it to you. All right, I get up there and I open my Bible. I said, God, okay. And here's what he said. Here's the message. Say to the people, I'm so sorry. I won't be able to preach here today. You're too white for me. What? I'm the only white guy there. It's an all black church. I'm the only white guy there. Most of these people are very professional people. And I get up there like a cornbread eater and go, I can't preach here and y'all are too white for me. Have you ever heard 25 pastors gasp? I have. And I said, God, that's the craziest thing. And boy, they're looking at me like, what kind of, you know, and I'm looking at me going, what? And then watch this. Away over there in that big old church was one of the hallways. And I heard it. I heard the little old lady. Glory to God. I seize it. That's what she said. Glory to God. Here she comes. And she's got a white handkerchief. Biggest thing about her is a black hat. And she's running down the front. Glory to God. I seize it. When she ran through there screaming, glory to God, I seize it. Holy Ghost knocked down every one of these pastors. See, the people were trying to morph themselves into other people that they weren't. God wants you to keep your uniqueness about you. You don't have to be conformed. And I'm telling you, that's what the little old lady said. Glory to God, I seize it. And boy, Holy Ghost falls in there. You know, I'm going shakava, you know. Woo! Listen, it takes some grit to get up there. You say, have they asked you back? Yeah! I'm telling you, people need to hear the truth.
Yes.
Be you yielded to him.
Yes.
That's what God asked. Mm-hmm. Be you yielded to him.
Yes.
That's all he asked.
Amen.
Be the best of you yielded to him. Mm-hmm. You don't have to morph into somebody else. He wants you to be who he made you to be. All right. Then I've been in some other situations that's almost worse than that. I went to preach at a seminary down in San Antonio, a Church of God seminary. They're kind of hostile to the prophetic. So another one of those, Bobby, don't worry, I'll give you the message. This is all true. Don't lie in church. I better tell this before Carolyn gets back. Okay, I'm down there in San Antonio. She's here. All right. I go down to San Antonio to preach at the seminary, and I'm at the hotel. I'm saying, God, I don't have the message. He said, I do. I said, God, I don't have the message. I do. Give it to me. Okay. When you get there, I want you to get to the pulpit and open the Bible and look at all the preachers in the seminary. And here's the guy that put the thing on. And I want you to say, you ready? I'm sorry. I won't be able to preach here today. You're too full of S-H-I-T. What? He said, yep, that's it. Said, if you tell him anything else, it won't be me. I said, I ain't doing it. I go into a trance. I see everybody sitting there. There's supposed to be a lady sitting there in a white business suit. She wasn't there when I got there. So I'm going, shut it up, I'm telling you. And then I hear her shuffling. It's the ushers bringing her in. So I said it. I had to say it twice, matter of fact. He said, you'll have to repeat yourself. They don't think they heard you. But guess what happened? The man that invited me got up there. And it seemed like he stood there for 30 minutes, but it was probably three. And he said, I fear we've heard the truth. And guess what happened? They unfurled all the things and found out there was all sorts of immorality and money misuse and stuff like that. But see, somebody has to tell the truth. So I did a whole study on dung. You know, after that. Have you read about dung? The king will not come in your camp if your dung is there. So we're trying to find out why God's not in all our camps. Too much leftovers. Yeah. Anyway, I hope you never have to have a meeting like that, but it worked out. You can't believe the thousands of people that I've met. Hey, you remember the first time I ever heard you? I go, it wasn't San Antonio, was it? Yes. I go, that message was unforgettable. I brought up every verse I could find. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, verses like that. But he said, nope. And so I had to say it. But good Lord. And they've invited me back. It's working out okay. See, all things are what? Working together for good to them that love God. Now, I know this. We're supposed to be clean and crisp and not wallowing in our words. But you better say what he tells you. If you say just for the only thing that's going to be really right is him. Okay? And so, okay. I think that's one of the reasons God will use me. He knows I'll do anything he asks me to do. Now, he'll ask you to do some strange things. I was in one of Rick's meetings and Don Potter was playing. And Don was just playing real good. I'm sitting on the front. And Don and his band's doing great. God said, I have something for Don. I said, okay. I said, what is it? He said, I want you to get up. I want you to walk up there. And I want you to ram your nose in his ear. What? That's what he said. I thought, okay. I got up. And Don, you should have seen him. As I'm walking up there, he's looking like. And I rammed my nose in his ear. Later on, he could tell you the story. He had been listening to so much music over the headphones till there was a problem with his hearing in that ear. But when I rammed my nose in there, it healed him. That's what he said. See? Yeah, there's all kind of stuff happens. Yeah. That's what we got to be instant in season or out of season. Do whatever God asks you to do, okay? Whatever he asks you to do is the very best thing you could be doing. Don't you think? So, Father, thank you. Make us obedient. And, Lord, where we're hesitant, help us to see that you want the kingdom of God to come to earth in a very, very visible way. So have your will in your way. Heal the sick. Make things happen that will glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to get out of here. I better carry this with me because...